We're in a series that we don't always get to preach kind of what is the easy things to preach. We did a series right before this called It's Complicated. We preached about some pretty difficult topics. This is kind of a, in my mind, a fun series. We're going to preach kind of what comes natural to us. And we're preaching a series called Our Core Attitudes. And last week we talked about we'll do anything short of sin to reach people far from Jesus. We'll do what no one's doing to reach people no one's reaching. And our core attitudes are really the chip on the shoulder that we do life with. Our core values are on the walls of our church here, and we're a Bible church, a Spirit-empowered church, a family church, a church for our city, church for Alaska, global church, an equipping church. Our core attitudes are how we would do those values. Our core attitudes, though, our second core attitude is this. Our second core attitude is we're a faith-filled, say faith-filled. Bet the farm, or big thinking, bet the farm risk takers will never insult God with small thinking and safe living. Now, I was thinking about this. I lived in Vegas for a while, and I actually had to pick up pieces with students whose dads had bet the house and literally lost their home, lost the mortgage, all those things. When we talk about faith-filled, big-thinking, bet-the-farm risk-takers, what we're saying at True North Church is we believe that when you remove faith from the equation, life's kind of boring. And church is boring. And we're not the people that want to remove risk at True North. We're the people that want to step right into the difficult places. We want to think big. We want to dream big. We want to believe God. How many of you guys have ever done something that when you did it, you realized that your heart doesn't always stay right here in your chest? You've actually felt your heartbeat in your neck before. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Anyone ever done that thing where you feel your heartbeat beating in your neck and you're like, you're completely aware that, I mean, you're alert of the situation, and you don't know if it's danger or adrenaline or what it is, but you're like, you're aware and you're alive. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Back when I was a kid, it was when you're TP in someone's house and you see someone's light go on. Know what I'm talking about? Or back when I was in college, it was when they used to have we had an old armory. They had this big ball on the armory, and every year the seniors would go paint it the night before graduation. And my junior year, someone almost slipped off the roof and broke their leg. So the next year, because of liability, they took the ball off the top of the roof. And I found out where that ball was in someone's closet. One of the administrators and I found a way of sneaking that ball out of that office at one point. I wasn't supposed to be in that office. I wasn't supposed to be in that closet. I wasn't supposed to have that item, but I had it. And I can tell you, when I took it, I was alive. Your spidey senses are awake, you know. But today, I want to talk about how True North Church is a church that I believe we want to put ourselves in the middle of what God is doing, and that's not always safe. Do you know that 80% of churches in America are on decline? They've plateaued or declined. Very few are growing. Very few are missional in nature. In other words, you're anything short of sin to reach people far from Jesus. And so tonight, I want to take, and this is even risky, because the moment you declare something publicly and say, this is what we feel like God has told us to do at True North Church, and the moment you put it out there, guess what? You're accountable. But when your core attitude is we're faith-filled, big thinking, bet the farm risk takers, we won't insult God with small thinking or safe living. We don't believe in being safe here. I remember a few years ago, it was 2015, and it was May, and I went to the board, and we'd started our second service in October that year, and I went to the board and says, guys, we're full. We need to start a third service. And one of my board members said this to me. They said, Mark, Pastor, people don't come to church in Alaska in the summertime. And what I realized that day was that there are some people who don't come to church in Alaska in the summertime, but there's a lot of people who do go to church in Alaska in the summertime. But I remember this particular board member said this. He says, well, you know, we have this culture of risk, so Mark, we might as well try it. We'll see what happens. And we started a third service in May, and we kept growing. And we're going to start two more services, but what I want to do is I want to front load. Let me have it. I'm going to front load this message with vision and backload it with faith. Because let me tell you something. When your vision is big, you better have big faith, because you realize it's going to take faith to have the big vision happen. Here's what I believe. If you have big plans, you need a big business partner. And so today I want to break down this vision, and we break our missions down at True North into what we call our front porch, our backyard, and our beyond. And I want to look at that. But before I do that, I want to share real quick, there's three types of churches. Number one, there's undertaking churches. They focus on the past. They're undertakers. Now, True North Church, here's the thing. We have an incredible legacy. We are 81 years old. Do you realize our church has met in 5 different buildings? We've paid for 4 different building projects and have no debt with those building projects. And we're currently paying cash for a remodel on another building project. We have a loan with a building and those things. But there's undertaking churches that all they focus on is their past. We have 81 years of incredible history here at True North Church. But we don't only focus on our past, because when you stare at your past, you have your back to your future. There's undertaking churches, and then there's what I call caretaking churches. They focus on the present. Well, let's just take care of what's here. Let's focus on what we have right now. And there's nothing wrong with focusing on taking care of what you have. But there's a third type of church that says we're a risk-taking church. We focus on the future. And I believe this. I turned 50 this year. And I believe that my ceiling will become my son and my daughter's my ceiling becomes their ground floor. So if all I'm thinking about is today, I'm not giving my son a very high ceiling. I'm not giving my daughters a very high ceiling. But I think if, as a church, if we're dreaming about the future and we're risk-taking church, we've got to be a church that says, hey, we're going to be a risk-taking church. Now, with that said, I want to walk through the front porch, the backyard, and the beyond, the three areas. Kind of some vision, kind of some dreams, and I'm making it public. I my board knows about these things. We've talked about these things. We're praying these things into existence, and we're talking about faith, because some of this stuff is going to take God to make it happen, but I believe God can do all things. Amen. And we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So I'm going to talk about our front porch. Number one, our front porch. Here's some things I believe God is calling us to do. I believe we're going to have I know this. We have 2 venues. In fact, can I tell you a really cool thing? Is that okay? You want some cool things?
Yeah.
Well, that's the... So this last week, we had 2 banks that were fighting over our loan. You ever had a bank fight over your loan? It's a good thing. You know, we have a loan on our 17 acres on College Road, and the building, when it's finished, they believe, our builder says, Mark, it'll be worth $4.5 to $5 million. It's going to be a brand new building. I mean, basically, it's remodeled, completely redone, mechanical, all those things. And we have a $3.7 million loan, and the two banks were fighting over the next portion of our loan. And a bank says, Mark, we'll refi your loan and we have, you know, half a point of interest. I mean, like 4.7 was our loan. We had a bank fight for it. They're going to refi it for free. No cost, no prepayment penalties, for 4.2% interest. We're going to sign documents this week. That's a miracle. That's $1,000 of interest a month. How many of you know that's a miracle? But that's what happens. I think when you take faith risks, God steps up. And so this next fall, August 22nd, you heard about it from Pastor Matt, we're going to start a second venue. We're not going to call it a campus. We're going to call it a venue, because we're one church. And at some point, those 2 campuses, or the 2 venues with 7 gatherings, it might be 8 gatherings by the time we're done, are going to come together in one place that seats about 750 to 800 people, and we're going to reach our city for Jesus. We're going to have 2 venues, one on Airport Way, one on College Road. Our prayer, pray this with us. We're Bet the Farm risk takers. We're believing that the next 23 months before we, or 20, 22 months now before we open our new campus, they're going to grow 650 people. They're going to see people come to know Jesus. We're going to see drug addicts set free. We're going to see God begin to transform hearts and lives, put marriages back together. The new campus we're building is going to see 750 to 850 people. The architects say 850. That means it'll see 750, okay? We're going to launch a daycare and a Christian academy. And we're talking, and we'll do it. I believe that. I was a part of churches that had 1,500 kids in their from daycare through to 12th grade. And in Vegas, there was 650 students, K through eighth grade. We believe that with what's going on in our culture, with what's going on with the indoctrination and the curriculum challenges, and we are so thankful for Christian teachers in our school system. We're so thankful for our new superintendent, the interim superintendent who is married to Pastor Bo Molina, who was on staff here at one time. And in fact, Bo's here. Hi, Bo. Love you. And good to have you here. But we're going to launch a daycare and a school. We're going to launch a counseling center. We'll have a foster care adoption agency. We've got our nonprofit set up called True North Youth and Family Consortium, which will allow us to do all those different things. Because here's what we believe. We believe the church should answer the social problems of our culture, not some government agency. We believe that. And in that same time frame, we're going to start a thrift store. And the whole idea of the thrift store, and we have friends in Wasilla that have one. And we went down and looked at it. And they said, Mark, we saw how big a job it was. And said, right now, we got to build mission critical space and get our church building built. But they bring in $65,000 to $70,000 profit a month for missions from that thrift store. Wow. In Wasilla. We believe we'll have a school leadership with 100 students. We're just right on that cusp of 20 this next fall. We're excited about that. And with that said, we talk about counseling center and a school. There's two things that we feel like God has spoken really clearly this last year during our week of prayer and fasting. Is we're believing that we're going to see in the next decade the divorce rates fall in Fairbanks, Alaska. We believe that. How do we know the church is making a difference when we see statistics that are out there? We have one of the highest divorce rates in the nation. That's why we preached on porn a couple weeks ago. That's why we preached on adultery a couple weeks ago. If we want to see the divorce rates fall, we got to hit the tough issues. And then here's the part. We're going to talk about faith in a moment. We're believing the suicide rates are going to go down. And since I proclaim that, there's been two suicides in our city. See, the devil just goes, oh, yeah, you're going to proclaim and believe God. I'm thinking, no, I'm still going to believe God because you took too many the last couple months. But we're faith. And so what would happen if we begin to believe God? And when men come together this Friday night and we begin to pray for divorce rates to go down and suicide to be abolished. That's why we need a counseling center someday. That's why we need to adopt kids into godly families. Give them a chance so they don't think suicide's the option. And so that's our front porch. Those are some of the things we believe God's put inside of us. Now let's talk about our backyard. Our backyard's Alaska. How many want to know Alaska's a big place? I remember once I had a gentleman who worked in Springfield for the Assemblies of God National Office, and we're in Ammonic. Or no, we're in Bethel. And he's in the store and he picks up a pair of these shoes and says, Mark, these shoes aren't that, they were on sale, like 50% off. He said, these shoes aren't that much more expensive than the ones you find in the States. And we're like, you are in the state. So then I said, do you take Alaska money at the national office? He goes, I don't know. I said, duh, it's Alaska, never mind. But Alaska's huge, twice the size of Texas. And 100 plus villages on a consistent basis on this Sunday will not have a consistent church. And so we have a vision, it's called the 2030 vision, and that's that we'll have 20 outposts. When I say outposts, I don't think we need 20 church buildings. The cost of maintaining the building in a village, the villages revolve around one thing already, the schools. So if we could, and so we want to, with God's help, go, how can we plant 20 outposts, have 20 solid places we can invest in and help see churches developed in villages? We already have New Ixit, And then we have a strong church being developed in Nanana, an incredible church. In fact, they had 17 teenagers at youth group 2 weeks ago. Now you might say, well, that's the big deal about that. The whole church had 6 people in it 6 years ago. They had 17 teenagers. They're averaging 40 to 50 people a week at that church right now. They're doing incredible. And our goal is, what would happen if we strengthen these local churches in small rural areas and be a part of that? Our prayer is this next year. We did Easter in a box last year. We're believing this next year that we'll have Easter in a box in 500 homes next year on Easter Sunday. 500 homes we could provide Easter to in a box. They might not have a church to go to, but they have a DVD player, or they can push play on a computer screen and they can watch church. How many of you guys think that we can do that? That's not that hard to do. We can believe it. And we're also believing right now for our backyard that every single correctional facility in Alaska will have a live stream, live Sunday morning church where we're able to provide church for people in correctional facilities whose lives are stalled and halted, but God can transform their life. And so that's our backyard. Now that sounds crazy, doesn't it? Big dreams, but we have a bigger God. Thirdly, our beyond. That's beyond here. And again, if you look, our core values were church for our city. That's why I talked about the stuff, our front porch and our backyards, Alaska, the stuff for Alaska, the global church. Globally, this is what we're dreaming for. We're believing that God will help us build minimum 2 churches a year globally for Jesus Christ around the globe. Right now, we're planting one we're building one in Thailand, and we've got another one in Uruguay, and we're believing now bigger than that is between now and 2035. That's the next 13 years. We want to build 50 churches around the globe for Jesus. I should say 51, because one's going to be built in Fairbanks, Alaska. How many think God can help us build 50 churches for people around the globe? There's people who need a church. And so I just met with a gentleman who's a new missionary for Builders International, and his job will be to travel around the globe to these places where God is moving, meet with missionaries. He's a former builder, and then he was a strong youth pastor. Now he's going back into building and missions. He's gonna go around the globe, and he's gonna help find places to build buildings. And I had dinner with him at the pump house, and I said, Jimmy, we wanna invest in you couple hundred dollars a month for Builders International, but we want you to whisper in our ear the best places to build buildings. Because we believe that we can build. How many of you guys think it's exciting to build 50 churches around the globe in the next 13 years? Pretty excited about that. Now, again, then I put on here, you know, I can't wait till the day, and I think I told Pastor Bo this, I can't wait till the day I stand up here and say, church, we gave $1 million this year to missions. Last year was just shy of $312,000 for missions. I can't wait till we say we gave $1 million to missions. $1 million for the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, you can count how many dollars you give, but you can't, you know, if you cut open an apple, how many of you guys have ever cut open an apple? You can cut open an apple and you can pick it apart and find how many seeds are in the apple, but you'll never know how many apples are inside those seeds. We can count every dollar we give the missions, but we never know how many souls are attached to those dollars. But if we can sow $1 million a year into missions, I'll tell you what happens. Let me just tell you a secret. I get scared sometimes. Someone's like, what? Really? You? Yeah, I get scared. And I realized every time I get scared, we have to receive a missions offering. So a few, you know, just a couple weeks ago, I'm like a little nervous about like this whole thing. And we had just sent a check off of $25,000 for missions. And that very next week, we had someone tithe a $25,000 check. And then just last week, we gave a check to someone for $5,000 down in Houston, Texas. And the Holy Spirit whispered, said, Mark, and I mentioned to our accounting department, tell me if someone drops a $5,000 check in the offering. Because the Lord told me, Mark, watch what's going to happen the next 7 days. And sure enough, within 7 days, someone dropped a $5,000 tithe check. I don't know who it is. I don't know the names. I'm not told that stuff. But all I know is we can't outgive God. And every time you think you're scared, I'm telling you right now, give your way out of fear. Like, wait a second here. I got to control. If you think you have to control your future, you're probably got a small. If you're the person controlling your future, you have a small God, and his name is you. You have a big God. So I share these things and I get a little, you start to go, but you can't outgive God $1 million a year. The other thing is I'm believing for, and so parents, if you want to pray against this, you can, but I think God's big. I'm praying for a tithe of the young people at our church to go into full-time ministry. I've always prayed as a youth pastor, Lord, would you send 10% of the sharpest of our young people to preach the gospel and be involved in full-time ministry someday? 10%. So parents, I'm praying. I might be praying with some of you, and I might be praying against some of what you're praying. Because I'm believing God's going to call people, And I believe someday we'll have preachers of the gospel from True North Church on every single continent on planet Earth. I believe that. Now with that, I start going, okay, God, what does that mean? I want to walk you through. So you know, let's shift from vision here to faith. There's a powerful verse in Matthew chapter 9, verse 29. Two blind men come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, can you heal us? And Jesus said, well, what, do you think I can do it? And they said, yes, we know you can do it. And this is what Jesus says to them, according to your faith. Say faith. According to what?
Faith.
Not according to their bank account.
Yes.
Not according to their education. Not according to what side of town they grew up in. Not according to what their social status was or marriage status was or the color of their skin. According to your faith, let it be done to you. What Jesus is saying there is you get to choose. We get to choose how much God blesses us. We get to choose how much God will use us. We get to choose how much we want to put ourselves in God's hands or we want to control it for ourselves and be in our hands. Daring faith, risk-taking faith, bet the farm risk-taking faith is the type of faith that God says, according to your faith, let it be. That's why at True North, we're going to declare things that are bigger than us. I don't feel like I'm smart enough to lead the church I'm leading right now. I'm not educated enough. I just feel like we woke up and God is blessing what we're doing and we're a little over our head. But here's the thing. When you're in the deep end of the pool, all you have to do is look up and say, Daddy, grab me. That's why my hands are like this when I worship, because I realize, Daddy, pick me up. I need you. Because I'm over my head, but I'm with a good business partner. His name is God. And he said, according to your faith, let it be. I'm going to dream big dreams. I'm going to get on the edge. I'm going to let the hero of my heart step in when my heart doesn't feel like it's, when my feelings get in the way, I'm going to let the hero of my heart speak bigger than what I feel in my gut. Does that make sense? Where there's no faith, there's no miracles. You want miracles? Let there be some big faith. Your faith is the lid. As a church, our faith is the lid. What would happen if the next several years we increased our faith? If we increase our faith, I can tell you right now, the capacity of this church is incredible to impact the city and the globe and the world. Risk-taking. And I want to just share three facets of faith real quick. From the Hebrews chapter 11, and Hebrews chapter 11, what an incredible, if you haven't read that recently, if you've never read it, Hebrews chapter 11 is the faith, the hall of fame of faith. It's these people that God used to transform cities and transform nations and transform people and their stories of faith and three facets of faith. Number one, faith is believing when we don't see it. Faith is believing when we don't see it. Hebrews chapter 11 says to have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for and to be certain of the things we cannot see. Faith is believing in what we don't see. When you look at the divorce rates and you go, we're going to pray that God changes the... I'm believing there's going to be published, documented, scholarly reports to show that there's literally the divorce rates have shifted in the circumpolar regions of the world. Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm believing that. And when I counsel family and say we're getting divorced, I'm thinking like, I can't see it right now, but faith is believing in what you cannot see. How many of you guys can see the internet? I mean, when you open up your computer, you might be able to see the internet, but how many of you guys can see, how many of you know right now, I could open up my phone, and if you have an Apple phone, if you have an Apple phone and you turn on AirDrop, I can send you a photo from my phone to your phone. Does anyone know how that works? I mean, remember, there was a day that if you wanted a speaker, you had to plug that speaker in through a cord to something else to play a song. Remember those days? And now there's something called Bluetooth. What What's Bluetooth? We all believe in it, but we don't see it. We don't understand it. I mean, if you understand Bluetooth, maybe you have a higher education than I have when it comes to technology. But I don't. But here's the deal: faith is like the internet. We don't fully understand it, but we know it's real. I don't fully understand how we're going to start a school and a thrift store and plant churches and see 500 families watch Easter next year in Village. I don't see how it's going to happen, but I believe it can happen with God as a partner. What do you believe in God for you can't see right now? Maybe your marriage is on the rocks. Maybe there's a difficult circumstance with a child. Maybe one of your granddaughters is struggling with gender dysphoria and they don't know their identity and they're trying to say they think they're a different gender than what their body says. And you're going, God, I'm believing for miracles, but you're not seeing them right now. Faith is believing even when you don't see the progress right now. Number two, faith is obeying when we don't understand. I look back, you know, my first building committee at True North Church was September 23rd, 2016. And it was October of a year ago that we sat in someone's office in the building we'd been working on for a while. Here's a story. I mean, I didn't understand. I mean, I believe God wanted us to start to do something. So the U-Haul building across the street, remember when that was Sears? Some of you remember that was Sears. We had a signed contract with U-Haul. We hadn't told the whole church about it yet because we realized let's just get it all set. We had a signed contract. It was in the pipeline for $3.5 million to purchase 100,000 square feet across the road from where we currently are. We had a signed contract, and 11 days before we're supposed to close, they filed for bankruptcy protection, and they pulled all the 144 deals in the pipeline for real estate, and we came back to square one with no building. And I'm going, oh. And then we worked with the banks and we had the money we knew we needed to buy the Kmart building next door. And so we went there to say, hey, we're ready to buy. We have the money. You knew we were waiting for it. We'd been dialogue and we sat down with us and said, well, we don't think it's for sale anymore. And I remember walking out of that room going, God, I'm obeying you, but I don't understand you right now. And I remember telling my wife this. I said, maybe Heidi, you know, at this time we had like 1,300 people in our church or 1,400 people. And I said, Heidi, you know what we need to find? Not a church of 100 that we turn into 1,400. We need to find a church that seats 1,500 that has 300 people. And I kind of had this chip on my shoulder and I was like, God, what are you doing? You ever said, God, what are you doing ever? Anyone here ever done that? I might be the only one. And I remember that night getting the text message from a board of regents at the university saying, Mark, check your email. And it was that day in October that we got a text, an email about the College Road property we purchased. It was for sale, knowing there was 10 acres behind it that wasn't worth anything because there was no road frontage, but the road frontage came available. And then we you know the rest of the story. We put four individual transactions together with four different owners to purchase 17 acres, the best 17 acres in town, walking distance from the university, and that nothing was available in town, and God put it all together. Why? You obey him when you don't understand. When you don't understand, you obey. I love this verse. It was by faith that Noah built an ark. Now follow me. Follow me here. He built an ark. Well, let's we'll go on. To save his family from a flood. What's a flood? It had never rained. Read the Bible. God says he's going to open up heavens. There's going to be rain. He's going, what's rain? What's a flood? What's an ark? It's not like you could go to Google and search what an ark is. What's a boat? What's a boat? But he obeyed God, who warned him about things that had never, say never, happened before. He obeyed him even though those things had never happened before. Now, number three, faith that made Abraham obey when God called him to go to the country which God had promised to give him. He left his own country without knowing where he was going. God said, leave your people, leave your tribe, leave your tongue, and I'll send you to people you've never met. And he obeyed. He didn't always understand, but he left anyway. Faith is obeying. What does God ask you to do? Well, I'll do it when I can afford it, Pastor. What's God asked you to do? He didn't ask you if you can afford it. What has God asked you to do? The third facet of faith is persisting when we don't feel like it. I had a friend who said, my pastor friend used to say this, you need to be tougher than woodpecker lips. You ever felt sorry for a woodpecker? All day long. And it sounds like they're going nowhere. They just keep pecking. They just keep those woodpecker lips are tough. They just keep pecking. We have to be persistent. And I love what this verse says. It says, it was by faith that Moses left Egypt without fear of the king's anger. He held to his purpose like someone who could see the invisible. Say, see the invisible. He had faith. He saw he persisted. And what I love is faith, again, faith is persistent when we don't feel like it. We live in America that, guess what? We trust our feelings sometimes more than our faith. Well, if it feels right, do it. Friends, it doesn't always feel right to persist. How many of you ever coached your children not to quit something because they feel like it? How many of us had to talk ourselves into not quitting because we didn't feel like it, but we kept doing? Faith is persisting. Faith is persistent, and I believe this. Our world lives on emotions, but when we're mature, there's an area of maturity that comes spiritually, and God's gonna call some of you to that place as leaders, as people, is as you mature, you begin to live on something other than feelings, but you trust him with faith, and you persist anyway. And I believe this. I believe if we do that, that we're gonna see God do incredible things. Let me ask you a question. What is God asking you to persist in right now? What's God asked you to persevere in? Maybe you feel like throwing your towel in, but your spouse or someone says, oh, don't give up yet, don't. But you know you should keep going. You keep persisting. Keep pressing forward. This year, friends, we're going to enter in one of the most incredible faith journeys our church has ever had. When I say bet the farm, risk takers, you know, friends, we're going to build a $9 million building. It's expensive to build in the Arctic. When you build right, it costs a lot of money. And we're at a place where we're going to leverage what we have. God's taken us somewhere. And this is a year where I really believe as we build that building, we're still going to focus on villages. We're still going to focus on prisons. We're still going to focus on, and someday we'll have a school. But the first things we're going to build is mission critical. And then we build the school, and then we build the thrift store, and then we build those other things. But it's going to happen. Why? Because we're faith-filled, bet-the-farm risk-takers here at True North. Would you be that way in your family this year? Let me pray over you, and then I'm going to have our gathering host come and close things. Lord, I thank you for this day. I pray a blessing over everyone here. God, let us be people of faith. Let us be people who persist in our faith. Let's be people who believe in what we cannot see. And God, let us obey when we can't see and it doesn't make sense, but it doesn't compute in our cognitive ability, but we know that you are making it happen through faith. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.